Right on time, Jim.
Yeah, we'll call our meeting to order. Can you please stand for the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we have a roll call, please.
Yes, Director Sesenia.
Here.
Director Cross.
Here.
Director Hubbard.
Present.
Director Womack.
Present.
I meant Vice President Sesenia. Sorry about that. And President Forcroy.
I'm here. Thank you. Okay. We're here at 4:30 for closed session. So I guess I need to announce the closed session item. So this is an announcement of public employment. We're going to be discussing general manager. The general manager position. So public comment for our closed session item.
There is none online.
Okay, none in the board. We are adjourning to closed session back at 6 o'clock. Okay, we're coming back from closed session, so I'm going to adjourn our closed session and reconvene to open session. Our report from closed session is no reportable action. And that's it, right? Yeah. Okay. So our next agenda item, we are going to skip to the Sheriff Department report first.
Good evening, Commander Boss here. Looking at our call statistics for the month of February, we had a total of 420 calls for service, down, up slightly from 416 in 2025. Of note, were 75 enforcement stops, 46 preventative patrol activities. Just want to let everybody know that the Sheriff's Office currently has 8 deputy trainees that are conducting field training throughout the Sheriff's Office during the month of February. The Sheriff's Office had, or Coast Station had 4 of those trainees. So they were out there making proactive enforcement stops, efforting to keep the community safe and learn the ins and outs of being a sheriff's deputy here in San Luis Obispo County and on the coast area. That is what I have, unless anybody else has anything for me.
Any questions? I'm going to take a public comment for Sheriff Department right now.
If you're online, raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is none online.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We don't have any further questions.
All right, thank you.
Okay, moving on. We're going to move to our fire report. I know we're going to have a little bit of a talk, I think, from CAL FIRE.
Let me pull it up here. No, oh, okay, great. Thanks, Rob.
Good evening, everyone. I'm John Owens. I'm your fire chief. And we have the fire department report here. Josh Lorenzo would normally be giving this today, but there's actually a fire out here on South Bay Boulevard in the vegetation. And he's the incident commander, so we're stepping in for him. We were out there, Chief Brant and I there, but we came up back over here because they have everything under control, but it'll be about an hour worth of work getting the fire completely contained. Anyway, so emergency activity, the South Bay station responded to 98 calls from February 1st to February 24th. 33 were back-to-back calls, 75 were medical aids, 1 surf rescue, 6 traffic collisions, 15 public assists, and 4 hazardous calls, and 4 fire, 4 false alarms. There's 11 prospective reserve firefighters that are continuing to complete the steps needed to become employees of the of Los Osos Community Service District to streamline the process and unify instruction. The candidates have been attending a two-day in-house academy from February 21st to the 22nd. Candidates learned station-specific guidelines and procedures for both routine station maintenance as well as emergency response. And they'll soon be completing their rookie task books. And then the next step will be completing the required shadow shifts before being released to full duty as a Company 15 Reserve Firefighter. Reserve Firefighter Noah Grove resigned after 10 months of service to the community of Los Osos at Station 15. And we'd like to thank him for his service. And we wish him well in all his future endeavors. Some special programs and projects information. On February 13th, Station 15, the fire station met with the Rotary Club of Los Osos to provide information about the fire department and answer any questions from attendees. And Station 15 full-time staff attended the continuing professional training, CPTs, taught by CAL FIRE San Luis Obispo County Fire Department Training Bureau. And this is required mandatory training, annual mandatory training for all of our CAL FIRE personnel. And they received a lot of refresher training on EMS, hazardous materials, subjects to keep them current and compliant with state and federal requirements. And that's the report. If you have any questions, which I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Well, we're here to answer.
Yeah. Any questions from the board? No? Okay. I had talked to Chief Lorenzo about an incident that happened, just to kind of give a timeline and understand our response to MDO out to Montana Doro. So I could go over kind of what we had listed, and then it'd be good to just kind of, we were hoping to use this as an example, because we've been talking about the different responses, and this is a perfect example of resources going here and coming from there and all sorts of things like that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so I don't know if you want to go speak, start off, and then we can go from there. Or...
Well, I don't have all the info for sure, but what I did have was basically on Saturday the 28th in the evening, there was an incident in Montana Doro. I believe it was out by the Bluff Trail, and it was a rope rescue. Like somebody was over the side is what I understand.
Yeah, there was a call for service out there at the Montana de Oro. Engine 15 responded. EMS was a paramedic responded also, right? Yes. Yeah. San Luis Ambulance responded, and ultimately Medic Squad 15 responded. And we had Engine 62 from Avila come into the district to cover while the crew was out there. They ended up making a rescue or a help a person up the cliff. It took about an hour, or a little over an hour, I believe, for them to help the person back up. And the person wasn't capable of getting back up and needed to be taken up in a rope system. And when you have to do those kind of things, it takes more than, you know, two people to set it up. Sure. And someone to go down, someone to hook that person up, and then they have to haul them, you know, like a mechanical advantage system. And so that's why the engine and the medic squad stayed out there. And because of the staffing requirement of that, but no other resources did go out there. So that also did cause the fact that for about that little over an hour that there was an engine covering, but it was a BLS engine, not an ALS engine. Both the rigs, the squad, and the engine here at Los Osos have paramedics on it. And at that time, it turned out, you know, obviously for an hour, there wasn't any paramedics available on fire apparatus in the district, but there would have been ambulance, San Luis Ambulance would have responded for a medical. So there would have been a paramedic on that. And I guess the question is, you know, why are we responding out to Montana de Oro and sometimes leaving this area short on the ALS side. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I mean, in this instance, so why do we respond out there? Well, as part of the agreement with San Luis Obispo County and CDF, the district will provide additional services. Well, it says here, additional services are provided to the district in exchange for expanded response, i.e. district vehicles going out to Montana de Oro. And some of those expanded resources that respond into the district will be on initial attack and great alarm fire responses. So, I mean, if we had a structure fire in the district here, the district only staffs one engine. So we send six engines to all of our structure fires. So that means we're going to be getting potentially Morro Bay, San Luis City, and then three or four county and or state fire trucks to help the one Los Osos staffed engine. And then, of course, in a time of a structure fire, especially ongoing structure fire, all the resources in the district are going to be committed. But we do also have an ambulance respond to the structure fires, and that's available to either respond to calls in the district and provide ALS and or to help, you know, if something happens at the fire. But also some additional stuff that that the district does get for responding out to MDO is 24/7 chief officer coverage, fire law enforcement response, because we have our law enforcement fire police captains and battalion chiefs that they do the investigations on fires and then help do any other law enforcement type issues that might be required. Public information officers, we supply those. And then fire defense planning, you know, defensible space, zone zero, and in our fire prevention, we have fire prevention officer that we have helps out and does things here at the school and things like that. And ironically, you know, with the fire that's happening right now, we have the one engine 15's there. The squad's back at the station. We brought engine 62 from Avila to cover the district. So you have a fire truck and the squad with ALS, while engine 15's committed with a state engine with the state battalion chief. And as I was leaving the scene, our public information officer was showing up and our law enforcement officer had arrived and was starting to do an investigation on the fire. So it all kind of works together. And, but sometimes there is going to be a gap, you know, in coverage and that happens everywhere, not just here. It happens everywhere. It happens where I live in Paso Robles when things get committed. Right. So, I mean, one way to take care of it is obviously spend more money and have more equipment and more people, you know, is always a thing for that. But in particular with Montana de Oro State Park, says here that the response inside the park will include taking full action on emergencies where there is an immediate danger to life, injury, or property, which that was the case on the call. And so this is one of the reasons why we here at Los Osos respond, because we want to have a, and what we do have is a regional approach to emergency response, because no fire station is an island. That's why we have master mutual aid agreements. We have automatic aid agreements, which Chief Brandt right now is actually updating all of our automatic aid and mutual aid agreements here in his division with Morro Bay. They just finished Cambria. He's starting to work with Morro Bay, and then he'll be working with San Luis Obispo City. And ironically also is that we made a request for a second engine, a type 3 engine, closest type, to come assist with this fire. And we, Morro Bay was asked to supply an engine and they declined to respond. And that's what happens under mutual aid. That there's two differences. I said auto aid and mutual aid. So under mutual aid, we make a request, and if things are available, they'll send it. If not, they decline it. Well, they happen to decline that. So San Luis City is providing the next in engine, another type 3 engine for the fire. But that's how the system works. We have automatic aid. Automatic aid is usually, it's our dispatch center, which we dispatch for Morro Bay also. automatically tones out what's required to respond. Now, what's available? Because a computer is a computer-aided dispatch, or CAD, keeps track of where everything is. And so it adjusts automatically when the calls come in, and it, you know, picks and chooses the most closest resources and the most appropriate resources. So, but also on the performance criteria, some of the things are listed, like the extended emergency response, provide initial emergency response to Montana De Oro State Park in accordance with the regional fire protection concept, which I just described. And like I said, if we had a big fire, large fire, either commercial structure, wildland, or mass casualty type incident, we would be receiving automatic aid and mutual aid from all of our partners, just like we give it, just like Los Osos gives us, just like the county, just like the state. That's how things work. And also under the extended emergency response, we have provide coverage of the district at the specific levels when South Bay Fire resources are not available or otherwise committed by the above contracts or agreements. And station 15 is a designated must cover station. And we have done that right now. It's happening right now. The engine from Avila is covering the district. And then under other responses in the coordinated, under the performance criteria, we have coordinate and organize responses with other agencies such as water utilities, law enforcement, and state parks, i.e. Montana De Oro State Park. And the performance criteria on that is we will do that 100% of the time when our resources are available, and happen to be on that day our resources were available. You know, and, you know, sometimes things aren't, because what did I say? What we had 33 back-to-back calls last month, right? So what happens when the third call comes in?
Well, this was almost a back-to-back call, right? Because our squad was...
coming back from a
paramedic was in at Sierra Vista.
Yeah, and they were on their way back. Yeah, exactly. So
the squad had to go pick them up and the whole thing. And
actually, yeah, I was talking to Chief Lorenzo about that, and they were actually almost back here when that came in. He was looking at the time differences, but yeah, they had gone to another call or gone in, and they had to go pick up the paramedic that had ridden in on the ambulance.
Yeah, so I mean, that's part of where, like, I know we've been working on the operations guide, right, and making sure that we're balancing these different interests. I know that we're reporting, you guys are reporting usually every month. Some of our monthly stats include mutual aid given, mutual aid received, 9I responses and MDO responses, mm-hmm. just so this board can kind of keep track of, okay, how much of our resource is getting pulled out that way. And, you know, our responsibility is to make sure that the CSD boundary, like Los Osos, is covered. And so this is an example that it doesn't happen all that often, but for 30 minutes, Los Osos was uncovered. There was nobody here, which is something that I think we all got to understand, that it's not, you know, these performance metrics aren't necessarily 100%.
Yeah, that's true. And
not paying for 100%.
And you're right. We're like 80% of the time, but or whatever the metric might be. But that's the thing. That's why we have automatic aid, mutual aid, and things were in play, i.e. covering engines were en route, covering paramedics, you know, ambulances, things like that are all out. But those things are always subject to get pulled out too, you know, or come across a fire, or, you know, if they had been committed, were committed to Montana Oro, and well, like right now, we've got the engine. If they go out on a call with the squad, then something's going to get pushed back out here. So what that means is that with this fire going on, with 62 in the medic squad here, and they get toned out, and because we have designated, and in our agreement, kind of in trade for responding to Montana De Oro and 9I and things like that, I'm going to send another engine, putting on my county or state hat. We're sending another engine out here to cover behind 62, which is covering behind 15, right? And so what that means is, because we make Los Osos a priority in our response time because of its location, where it's at, you guys, you know, we're kind of at the end of the cul-de-sac here, right? And we don't have lots of stuff coming from 360 degrees. It's coming from the San Luis area, or coming from, you know, the north from Morro Bay or Cayucas or Cambria. So I guess my point is that what we're sending you to keep you whole is uncovering anywhere between two and three other communities. And then the whole system starts adjusting. And in some cases, the engines will respond directly and stage at the fire station. And in some cases, they respond to like halfway. So like here, where do we... Yeah, we send our engines. So when Morro Bay needs help or coverage, we're not going to send our engine from here to Morro Bay. We send it to Quintana staging. Yeah. So it can go either way, right? Yeah. And benefit both of us. But they don't do that for us, correct? Correct. Yeah, they don't do that for us this way.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of, you know, understanding what we have. I think that's the first step. And then, you know, looking for ways to find parts in those operation guides that where there's opportunities to change a little bit of how things are distributed to make sure that we're, you know, biasing. This board's going to want to bias that, make sure that we have our ALS coverage here. And that's the important part for us.
Yeah, exactly. And Chief Brandt and Chief Lorenzo are going to be starting a review of our response plan for the district. We're starting to do all of them, but we're going to prioritize Los Osos and to make sure our response plan is one is correct and or can it be modified or improved, you know? And so that's an ongoing process, the looking at the response plans, and yeah, especially with Chief Lorenzo being new, it'll be a good process for him to help him understand the nuances or the in and outs of this, you know, area in particular, to help ensure that we're meeting our performance measures and making sure that the district is still being covered as necessary.
Sure. And, you know, obviously this is all a lot dependent on having that reserve seat filled. And that's kind of our job, right? Is to either have that, make sure that seat's filled one way or another, because a vehicle,
yeah, that's
can't
true,
respond with one person, right?
What's that?
You can't respond with one person.
It's not recommended to respond with one person.
So I'm the one, Rob Jenkins, I'm one of the assistant chiefs. I've been working on your operations guide with Ron and Matt. One of the things we're having to adapt to is the difficulty in staffing that fourth seat with the reserve firefighter. The reserve companies dwindle down to half of what it used to be. It's a problem all across California. These performance measures that we have really are unchanged from the contract as it was originally 20 years ago. That contract was built at a time where we had a robust reserve company where everybody lived in the district. Those reserves came on callbacks to every fire that we had in town, right? So we got 20 people right away. It's not something that's a reality today. Morro Bay Fires got rid of their reserve company. So we're coming up with strategies on how to address that in this new operations guide.
Yeah, so makes sense. Well, thank you both. I appreciate it.
Can you help me and maybe others understand one acronym that I kept hearing, ALS, BLS? Is that reference to level of service?
Yeah, basic life support. That's emergency medical technicians, which like myself and Chief Brand are emergency medical technicians. But ALS is advanced life support, which is provided by paramedic services, which like Chief Jenkins, he's a paramedic. So EMT, you have like basic first aid, emergency medical technician, and then paramedic. And you know, we have mostly paramedics here. I think we have one EMT that works on the engine, but everyone else is all paramedic.
Yeah, we have two, right, on call typically, and it's a big difference between an EMT and a paramedic.
You staff two paramedics on duty daily here. We actually are BLSing one of our stations in Napomo right now because of a paramedic shortage. We're keeping Los Osos whole with two because of your contract. Paramedics can puncture the skin, give IVs. They have a scope of about 20 drugs in this county, pain control, meds for cardiac arrest. EMTs have only three meds here, aspirin, Narcan, and EpiPens. So there's kind of a big difference in the scope that they can provide. EMTs do more basic skills. They're pretty effective in cardiac arrest, but the more kind of mixed medical type patients benefit from paramedic level.
Which is that higher level of service that, you know, Los Osos passed in the special fire tax. And that's what we're at, a different level of service than pretty much the surrounding area. So, yeah, I appreciate it. It's good.
Thank you.
Exercise for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, people have questions and we're here to answer those questions, you know.
Just learning the difference between response to emergency services versus structure fires, those kind of things. I had no idea that.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, because, you know, like structure fires, we're supposed to have two in, two out, right? Per OSHA regulations, you know, and, mm-hmm. and we provide, you know, we have two in, two out with the reserves when the reserves are here, you know, so, you know, that helps out and makes pulling hose and doing an interior attack on a structure fire more efficient and safer for everybody, you know, and the chances of making a stop and confining the fire to the room of origin goes up pretty dramatically when you have more people for that. But
and then just to add real quick, this operations guide that we're working on, the goal with that, your performance measures have always been buried within your contract, which only comes up every few years, right? And would require an administrative burden to amend the contract in between those terms. So your new guide will live outside that. It'll be referenced in the contract signed by the district manager and the fire chief, but it gives you the opportunity to have these discussions more often. And if we need to make adjustments, that's what we want to do.
More of a live document that's easily changed.
Well, and shared too. It's easy to share that thing instead of this a contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Contracts are these people on the first few pages. Okay, well, I appreciate it, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much.
Jeez, thank you. I'll take a public comment for the fire report and discussion.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Richard Margetson, real quick. 20 years ago, Muni passed the fire tax with the notion that at some point, and I'm going to just keep hammering this, we would be 4-0. That discussion's got to happen with relation to this next fire tax and when it's going to happen. And I think that solves some of the problems because we still, even with the little glitches, have the highest level of service in the unincorporated area. So
thank you, Richard.
There's no public comment on my.
Okay, with that, we're going to move on to item number 7, I have a special presentation. The district proudly recognizes Director Tom Cross for earning this certificate in special district governance from the California Special Districts Association. This distinguished recognition is awarded to special district board members and trustees who demonstrate a strong commitment to governance, excellence, leadership, and ongoing professional development. To receive this certificate, recipients must complete 24 hours of coursework through the CSDA Special District Leadership Academy and an additional 10 hours of continuing education within the preceding 2 years. Director Cross has exceeded these requirements, completing more than 21 and a half hours of continuing education in the past year alone. Director Cross's achievements reflect his dedication to effective public service and his commitment to informed, reasonable, responsible, and ethical governance on behalf of this district and the community. So, here is your certificate, Mr. Cross. Thank you for that. Would anybody like to make a public comment about this special presentation?
If you're online, raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Well, I just want to say, Deborah Howe, LOCAC, I just want to say congratulations to you, Tom. I'm sure that was not that very much fun. We do miss you on LOCAC because you always kept us together when it came to our governance. And it's a topic that not everybody is an expert on. So good for you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would echo that. Thank you very much for taking your time to go through that.
Of course. I only became an expert on governance like that through trainings and such and reading up on it. So thank you. Thank you to the district, to SDLF, and the community of Los Osos.
Okay. Our next item is our general action item. Adoption of the Los Osos Emergency Operations Plan.
Great. Thank you very much. I do have a short presentation. Just for a little bit of background, that this plan was developed based on the experiences we had from January 23 winter storms and the events. So we tried to put something together that would organize the structure to address future emergencies. Just as a little background, we had tremendous rain. This De Oro neighborhood was impacted by the Cabrillo stormwater basin breach of a berm. And the only response we had was from the employees or the Station 15 firefighters, which did a tremendous job. So anyway, we were trying to figure out a way, if this ever happened again, when outside assistance wasn't coming, how to better organize ourselves. Since the initial presentation of the plan back in October of 2025, I worked with Bob Newman. He's on our Emergency Services Advisory Committee and knows the subject very well. And we worked through the final details to get ready for this final review by the board. Back at that meeting, there was a few things that were comments that we received from the board members. One of the big ones was a list of acronyms that were found throughout the plan. So you'll see the addendum 2 that has a great list of those. A need for better understanding the communication chain. This is in section 4, which outlines the roles and responsibilities, but we're also going to have some equipment needs to help with that communication if and when cell phone service or other ways of communicating go down. Also, there was a comment in January 2023, we had several board members come and try to assist in the disaster, but we needed personal protection equipment, which we did not have. And identification, some, especially Matthew, couldn't get up the road because the sheriffs weren't allowing people without identification to assist. So things like, simple things like that. And they're also understanding the training requirements. And there is online training available through FEMA's independent study website. And there's other online resources that we will be putting together to educate and train board members and others that are on the responder list. So a couple of things, and these were stressed by Bob Newman. It's important to understand this plan is an emergency specific annex to the SLO County Emergency Operations Plan. And they're intended to work together. This is intended to provide a framework for disasters by the district in the event of regional and really or localized emergencies. I wanted to emphasize that. It's also intended to be an adaptive tool so it can be revised, similar to what Chief Jenkins and Chief Owens were saying. It needs to be able to be nimble and changed when needed. So it's also developed with that in mind. So I was going to go quickly through the sections just for people that haven't had a chance to read the plan. Of course, there's the introduction that takes the purpose and objectives. Section 2 is for planning and describes the district and community and outlines the various hazards. It's pretty much a laundry list of hazards that could happen here, such as earthquakes, wildfire, flooding, and much more. Section 3, concepts of operation. This outlines the concepts under which the district will respond to emergencies. And how we respond will depend on the type and magnitude, of course. But many, if you notice, many of the elements are the same within each type of disaster, but it's really the magnitude of the situation that would dictate, you know, the level of action. It also has the basic elements of emergency response and mutual aid, there are concepts are also discussed. The emergency management itself, this is kind of a key section which describes the coordination between agencies, utilities, volunteers, and others, describes the actual emergency management system that will be utilized in the roles of the various agencies at the incident, explains the specific roles for the Los Osos emergency. This was intended to really address things that weren't handled by another organization similar to our January 2023 flooding incident. And the emergency resources, again, a very important section, talks about the equipment, supplies, and importance of volunteer organizations and facilities. It also talks to the South Bay Community Center as a designated evacuation center. If you recall, we had the major concern that there's no backup generation at that facility. We've been working hard with a working group to come up with solutions for that. And we're really close to installing a solar system that has adequate backup battery systems to it to help us through the events. The cost is approximately $72,000. If you recall, the board approved up to $35,000 towards that purchase and installation of the project. And the rest of the money is coming from community organizations like People Helping People and private contributors that have helped as well. Moving on, the program maintenance, this talks to the annual review. And this is, again, how we can change the plan if we're seeing things. Hopefully, we're not going to implement it, but if things, questions come up or clarifications need to be made or other things need to be purchased, that would be the time to update the plan. Support materials, it talks about the local volunteer organizations that could be mobilized during an emergency and a list of district staff by position that will lead any emergency response. And then the added things since the October review, we added a few addendums. The managed systems are outlined, the acronyms, as I mentioned, Tori, mentioned earlier. Supply inventory, this is things we do have a cert trailer that has supplies in it and has some other operational things like radios and backup generation. Has a tsunami inundation map, and it does have the list and names of community organizations that helped. And then we'll, with those, we won't have it published, but we'll have phone numbers available that would then be used during a disaster. Financial impact, there will be, like I mentioned, training, equipment, safety gear cost associated with implementation. I don't have a cost for those at this time, but once the plan is approved, we will start putting together a budget, which will come out of Fund 301, our fire budget, and that will be done, can be done annually during the fiscal year budget process and development. With that, I can answer any questions.
I want to start off and just express my appreciation. You did a great job of leading us through with Bob and clarifying some of these pieces. I guess my only question, the only thing that I wasn't quite sure about is we talked about PPE. What is that? I didn't see anywhere that's like spelled out. Like, what are we envisioning, or do we have a plan for like what we're going to have ready to go?
Well, you know, I don't think that was needed in the plan, but that's going to be a discussion that we'll have to put together a list and then price out what that'll cost and then, budget for that.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. Any other questions, comments?
I'm not sure the Chamber of Commerce would agree with your comments under civil disturbance terrorism that we do not have large events such as festivals, concerts, and rallies, Oktoberfest would certainly qualify. But other than that, I think it's a good document. I'm happy to see it come together. I didn't realize we had a trailer, a small little trailer already with generation and that kind of thing.
It's up at Station 15, and we actually have a reserve spot down at the community center to park it.
Good.
All right. So can you tell us about implementation? Like, The timing. I know this is calling out some training for this board to do. Are we envisioning that soon, like this year? Like, I don't know what is
my hope would be between now and the adoption of the budget that we have a lot of pieces put together. It'll probably flow into next fiscal year in terms of having all the specifics together. But I would like to get the budgetary items in. Again, that's coming right up. We'll have prelim budget for you early May and final budget in June. So it's
okay. So late summer, we could look forward to ICS training.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe July.
Like it. Okay. Any other questions? Any public comment for this item?
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Rob Jenkins, Cal Fire, but also a lifelong Los Osos resident. I got to correct Ron. He shortchanged himself. You did have a response. He was out there in the rain, digging and sandbagging with us. It was appreciated and very impressive. Matt was also out there with us too.
Hence the need for rain jackets and boots.
Got a little wet.
Richard Margetson. There is one amendment. Ron, it didn't get picked up. The one that we talked about, page 15, section 3, the last line of the second paragraph. People helping people serves a daily lunch at the South Bay Community Center and has a reserve of food. It's meals that connect that serve the daily lunch at the community center. And with respect to the reserve of food, I mentioned that emergency services that I've talked to the People Helping People Board, and we're going to start accumulating and then rotating out so it's always fresh. Canned chicken, peanut butter, things like that, that if we had an emergency, at least we could provide something for people to eat. Even if the power went down there, though, one thing that I forgot to bring up, even in the community, there is a gas stove that does not require any electric ignition, the convection oven, that's a different thing, but there is a gas 6-burner gas stove, so we could cook even if we didn't have, you know, whatever it was. Anyway, I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. That was an important change that I didn't get in.
We'll say as amended.
As amended.
As amended.
Good evening, Jim D'Antona. And I know, Ron, we talked a little bit about this before, and as I was skimming through reading it, I didn't check. I saw that there's a lot of emergency operations center, county emergency operations center. Saw a lot of fire, a lot of sheriff connection in there. I wondered if county public works is considered in there as part of the emergency operations center, or if that's something we need to ensure, because in that situation, right, they have heavy equipment, they have things the county should be backfilling, or if that wasn't included and maybe at some other time we would. So in theory, county public works would be something that should be backfilling on a lot of those situations. Understood, they didn't, or didn't come till very late, but they really should be, and that should be something that it's not here, then the county should be stepping up on that. So. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great comment.
To that comment, that's in the San Luis Obispo County operations plan. So like I said at the beginning, this is to support that, but then have some, you know, Los Osos specific things in it. So yeah.
Yeah, we really were feeling like we didn't have a strong, like we know what needs to happen and when, and so yeah, this plan is really great to get the district organized in responding. So thank you. With that, I will entertain a motion.
I recommend the board adopt the Los Osos Emergency Operation Plan as amended.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I hear unanimous decision. This passes. Thank you very much, Ron. All right, next order of business is public comment. items not on this agenda.
If you're online, raise your hand in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Deborah Howe, LOCAC. I am excited to announce to this board that there is a new 501c3. It's called Parks for Los Osos. It is an umbrella organization that will seek to raise funding and acquire grant funding for any parks project within Los Osos. That includes Sunnyside, that includes the community center park, that includes trails, that includes pocket parks. If it's a park or a recreation, we are supporting it. We have a kickoff event that will happen on April 25th. It will be at Sunnyside. It's going to start with a town hall from 2 to 3. We invite the CSD to participate. There will be from 3 to 6 music, food, tables for different organizations. You could be there with your table talking about water conservation or other services you provide. LOCAC will be there. We will be holding our elections at this event. We're going to invite supervisor candidates, both of them, to come and be there so that people can meet them and ask them questions. We're going to have the Garden Club. We're going to have every organization that is somehow supportive or interested in providing for our community a parks, recreation, a healthy community. So there'll be a children's crafting area. It'll be inside the Cal Fire building. We're going to open up some of that building. There'll be some tours going on around the Sunnyside School site. Waldorf School is going, their teachers are going to do the children's crafting. And then, I mean, that's just great by itself, right? That's on a Saturday, April 25th. And then the following Saturday, on May 2nd, there is going to be a bike rodeo put on by Bike Slow. It will be for all of the schools, Baywood, Monarch, and Loams. It will also be at Sunnyside. And it's going to be a great event. May is Bike Month, and that will lead us into May 6th, which is Wednesday, where it is Walk and Roll to School Day. So we're going to just roll right into May with some really great bike activities. We're going to take part in the opportunity to work out of a Sunnyside school. We've already got permission from the school district to do these activities, and we're going to have a fun. We're going to have a great time. Do you guys have questions?
Questions?
No. All right. Well, I hope you all come.
See you soon.
The 25th.
Yeah. And the second.
And the second. Yes.
Okay. Any other public comment for items not on this agenda? I don't see any.
There is none online.
Okay. Then we will move into administrative committee reports, and starting with the GM/utility department report.
Okay. Yes. Look over here. Really nothing on the utility side. You know, our capital projects continue to be very close to wrapping up. Some are way overdue. So, hopefully at our next meeting, update that we are complete on SCADA, 10th Street Tank, et cetera. For the general manager's report, I wanted to bring the board and the community up on our fire protection emergency services contract and the update on that. Since last May, the board and staff have been working towards moving away from our current contract with County Fire. I want to make that clear. For multiple reasons. At the September 20, 2025 board meeting, the board have narrowed the options down to directly contracting with Cal Fire or contracting with the City of Morro Bay. Since that time, I've been working with both agencies. Matt's been involved with the Cal Fire side. And we're hoping to have proposals from both, complete proposals from both here in the next few weeks, and bring that forward to the board on April 2nd board meeting or upcoming board meeting. It'd be great to get this completed, especially in front of our budget process. Again, repeating that we have prelim budget in May and then final in June. So if any questions on that, that's coming up. Really looking forward, like I said, to have our fire contract issues resolved. The other big one that has reared its head again is Cal OES FEMA. I put in a grant application for 406 funding. That's mitigation grant. It's for projects that didn't fall under the original FEMA contract or a grant program for the breach up at Cabrillo Basin. The good news is they're actually looking at that. I thought it might be another year or so. The unfortunate news is they asked for a lot more information. But I submitted all that a couple of days ago, wrapped that up. Good news from that, I haven't received an email directly back saying they need more, so we'll see. So that's exciting. So that was for the west side of the basin. That wasn't damaged, but we knew we wanted to reinforce. And I think the total for that, the total request for that was around $1.4 million.
Yeah, I that's really good news. I still think that we really need to be interfacing with Public Works some more. I'm really not convinced that rebuilding a pond up there is the best choice. I think that there is some potentially a win-win there. This basin, its emergency overflow goes onto Petro Road. Petro Road on the far side goes directly into S&T tanks and into a neighborhood. And I've seen from personal observation that that overflow when it goes is very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
And that's something that we absolutely need to be coordinating with Diodati on somehow. I know you've tried, but that piece of it to me is really, really important that we come up with a solution that's permanent and we take care of the problem up there. You know, we did lower that emergency overflow a little bit, and we did that hydraulic
on
it,
yeah.
And it, you know, we know, and we provided that to the county, and we know that, you know, that's an issue. So, I hope we're able to look at that some more this year.
Yeah,
definitely.
Drainage as a whole is on the list.
Well, and even the conversation about why are we in this business of collecting your water and giving it back to you. So anyways.
A long-term solution there would be appreciated, whether it's just piping the water all the way down the hill. I don't know any way to maybe get rid of the basin, but that's not my expertise. I don't think you'd want to pipe it always all the way down, but I don't know. I'm not that person, but we do need to follow up with that. And thank you for everything you've done so far.
Yeah, we're seeing the overlap in drainage responsibilities isn't working for the community.
Pine Street.
Right.
People shouldn't have to live with 100 sandbags across the front of their property through the winter.
Well, thank you for the update. I appreciate it.
That's the end of my update.
Okay. Any other questions on the GM report? And we are moving on to LOCAC report. Did anybody go to that? I was supposed to, but I
attended. You heard from Deborah. They have a lot going on. One thing I would emphasize is it's election time, and they have plenty of vacancies, I think, each district. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people to get involved. LOCAC is not the LOCAC of old, actually. The meetings are civil, and you learn
and
things.
And they're productive.
They're very involved, everything from the transportation plan, the big issue coming up, what do they call it, self-help county that we want to become. They're very active, and I think people should get involved and be on that body.
Yeah, they have 6 vacancies and only 1 applicant so far. So, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Spread the word if you know anybody.
It's not just, yeah.
It's a lot of vacancies.
As someone who was on LOCAC before here, I really enjoyed being on LOCAC. It was a fantastic organization. Deborah gave me a lot of credit for running it in, but it was Deborah and Trish.
Yeah.
They did so much.
Okay. I'm going to make a plug for the Parks and Rec Committee. We're going to meet in a couple of weeks.
17th.
And we're going to kind of... I guess reboot that committee. They've been on a little hiatus, but there's a lot to start talking about and looking at future parks in Los Osos. So I encourage anybody interested, 5:30, Tuesday the 17th. Okay, utilities.
Well, in addition to the updates that you've heard about from the utilities department and the capital projects, I think the discussion that I remember the most was the talk about will serves and how that's going to be handled in the future. Because, you know, the Basin Management Committee sent the recommendation for a 0% growth letter to the county. They countered with a 0.4% growth rate. And so they're still pushing permits and applications and building projects. So at some point, there will be a request for will serves, and we're going to have to try and decide how we're going to handle that as a group. Golden State's kind of backed into a corner where it seems like they're indicating they need some sort of an emergency, a unified stance from the BMC, that there is truly a more need for a moratorium, emergency, that kind of thing, before they can deny a will serve. And so I think that'll be a further discussion that we're going to be having.
Okay.
Finance. My turn. Just
the
regular meeting. The committee recommended approval of the warrant register and to receive and file the financial reports. And I don't think there was much of note.
Okay. Emergency services. I bet it has to do with the emergency operation plan.
Well, it's pretty much we talked about what we just did.
Yeah, right. Okay. BMC. There was no meeting. You have a meeting coming up. So as those discussions come up about will serves and those decisions, I think that's, I know I would appreciate if we had, you know, start agendizing some of that here so we can talk about it as a group.
Yeah, let me remind you, our policy on will serves that we adopted, I think it was last year, the general manager is supposed to come back to the board every, I think it says June, it'll probably be later, but it's to analyze if we want to continue issuing will serves based on climatic conditions, which would be based on our water shortage contingency plan or and or the BMC recommendation. So we will, you know, the BMC is supposed to make the recommendation to the county shortly after the annual report is adopted, which is in June.
Okay.
So we'll be back talking specifically about this maybe in July, hopefully not as late as August, but somewhere right in that time frame.
Yeah, well, and Chuck's doing a great job advocating for our community for sure.
Well, I thought you had some good points. I think it was our pre-agenda meeting that we talked about maybe outreach to the county, each supervisor, making sure that they understood the BMC's position. And again, we did vote at the last BMC meeting to put a cover letter with our letter to the county recommending the 0% growth rate and get that directly to Coastal rather than have them have it from someone else. It just might be an invitation for dialogue that
sure.
Been a part of.
Well, and maybe that's something we should agendize a little bit as far as, I think that we need to make sure that we direct staff at some point. I don't know how we do that if we don't have it agendized, but direct staff that, hey, yes, we want something formal that we can then take and go make rounds with. Presentation, mm-hmm. PowerPoint, mm-hmm. PDF or something.
I think the direction would be to Chuck, since he's our representative on the BMC, because it really needs to be a BMC
right.
effort.
Yeah.
And that.
Yes, we don't want to go alone. We need to stand together.
We're trying to keep the purveyors as tight as we can.
Okay.
We're at all-time high in terms of relationship between the three purveyors.
Sure.
So we're desperately trying to hang on to that. You know, Golden State is in a different circumstance than the rest of us, or S&T and the CSD. So
And sometimes it's moving so fast at the BMC that like it's moving faster, and then we're catching up, and then sometimes you're catching up the BMC to what we're after.
So I will at our next BMC meeting though bring up the idea of an information packet that we can share.
Yeah, I think that needs to happen. Okay. Any directors' announcements?
I went to the Morro Bay National Estuary Committee meeting. So they discussed their work plan. They've got funding. They have a new president. One interesting item is on Walters Creek. Their partners are installing low-tech process-based restoration structures to mimic beaver dams. And the purpose is to support groundwater recharge, sediment capture, and habitat improvement. So I thought that was interesting. And they have opportunities for the public to contribute and help build those. And they also have their yearly State of the Bay. And they have a really nice glossy presentation. And I brought some, and they're free to the public, and they get used up. I mean, they're for distribution, so help yourself if you're interested.
Okay, thank you. There were no previously asked questions. So we're at the point about consent agenda items. We're going to be pulling item E. It's not ready. We're going to push that to next month.
Push that to the next meeting. And that was regarding a memorandum of understanding with the Waldorf School. We'd hope to have ready for tonight, but couldn't quite make it.
Okay, so we're pulling E for sure. Would any director like to pull any other consent agenda items? Okay, with that, public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Richard Margetson, just a quick observation, Ron. Penalties under in the water department fund, penalties under revenue, they seem to be up. Are we having people that are having problems paying their bills? With respect to the BMC discussion and the will serve issue, the county in their response basically challenged the purveyors, if you don't like this, do something about will serves. So they're the ones that kind of gave the direction, you know. I think they know that Golden State's in a bind and that, but you know, they gave the direction. I think we should pursue it as much as we can. With respect to outside meetings, Chuck forgot to mention that he attended the People Helping People get together, where Capslow and NOR Clinic were at to receive their checks from Needs and Wishes. For those that have not heard, Needs and Wishes did $90,154 this year. So each organization got $45,077.25. And again, we were informed that our contribution to NOR Clinic, we're the largest all-time non-grant related donor to NOR Clinic, but the donation from that event covers anybody from Los Osos that has used the clinic in the last year and more, but anybody from Los Osos that's used the thing. So the community really comes out for that event, and a lot of good comes out of it that serves the community in the background throughout the year. I think that's it.
And I'll bet you're probably already collecting silent auction items for next year.
Any other public comment?
There is none online.
With that, I will entertain a motion.
I move that we receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second, and I can do all those in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, approved unanimously. Okay, with that, any future agenda items?
I have a little question. So when we do Zoom meetings, there's a way to see like all the people. And I know sometimes we have people online and I don't need to see it for the whole meeting, but it might be nice maybe at the beginning if we could see who's online or if anyone's online.
You just have to stop share on the PowerPoint. is basically how that would work. Can be done.
Okay. So can you hit unshare for a second? Can we see?
Unfortunately, since we are in a webinar, you cannot see the attendees through it. You can only see the other panelists.
Okay, well, that answers my question, I guess.
Yeah, so for you to be able to see who the attendees are, you would have to have a tablet or something in front of you with a link to the webinar.
Or a different screen, maybe?
Correct.
Okay, all right.
Because see that little up in the corner? Right.
That's yeah, that's too small.
That's what, if I stop share, watch.
We're going to figure all this out eventually.
We'll just have to ask you who's online.
Oh, there, now we're big. Well, I have a closing comment. I want to give a shout out to Nate, Clint, and Mitch. They helped us out, my family out this week, raise a meter box, and our crews are extremely helpful. My wife commented on how nice and easy that was. I just really wanted to say how much I appreciate that. I know they're doing the hard work every day, and yeah, they just totally worked around schedules and took care of business, and that was that.
They're a good crew. They work really hard, and they didn't treat you that way just because you're a director. That's the way they treat everyone.
I honestly don't think they knew who I am, so that's how it should be. It's most of us. That's it. Anybody else have any comments? Nope. Okay, meeting adjourned. Thank you.